There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Two of the Lombardi Line, presented by BetMGM. Dave Ross alongside Wes Reynolds here at South Point Casino in Las Vegas. And Wes, I say this to you each and every week, and I think that people that watch and listen to our program know the value in this next segment, because it's bet now or bet later. And I have bet some of these now, and some of these I will bet later, depending on how we kind of workshop this and try to predict where we think these numbers are going to go. And I think that's how you can actually get the best bang for your buck here. Let's start off in just the AFC, okay? And let's look at that first game here, and it does involve our team from Las Vegas, the Raiders going back to the East Coast. It's going to be cold in Cincinnati. Right now, that number has come down a little bit, and the early money has come in on the Raiders. And you see where the total is. Feels a little bit high to me as well at 49.5. So let me get your thoughts on, if you're backing the Raiders, would you bet it now, or would you wait and bet it later?
Well, you probably can't really bet it. I guess you could bet it still, but bet early, I think, on the Raiders, because the line move has kind of dictated that
right now.
Down to 5.5. I'm not sure if that's necessarily this early in the week. Books may be moving a little bit faster because it's teaser protection. Look, I kind of understand a little bit why the Raiders are getting support, because you do have a playoff favorite, and we'll get into this with Mo Egger in the next segment from Cincinnati. You have an unproven playoff team in the Bengals. The Raiders are also unproven.
No
doubt. It's kind of like, when in doubt, maybe take the underdog. If you look, in the wild card round since 2003, home favorites of 7 or less are just 14-28-1 against the number. That's only 33%. You have a Bengals team that obviously very new to playoff football, but you know what? So are the Raiders. Raiders have only been in the playoffs now two times in the last 20 years, so... And these two teams did meet earlier in the season. It was 32-13 win by the Bengals here, but that was really not indicative of how competitive the game was. It was a very close game, a couple turnovers late. So you probably do want to bet now just based on that trend with the Raiders here. But keep in mind, the Raiders were on that field, that defense, for 75 plays in that overtime game against the Chargers. That was a Sunday night game. And now you got to play the early game on Saturday.
Well, and here's the thing, too. And again, I don't want to be, you know, Al Roker up here, but you do have to look at the weather in a situation like this to see how your handicap goes. It's an afternoon game, 4:30 p.m. Eastern time here. And the high for the day is only going to be 28. By the time they kick off, it's going to be down close to the teens when they kick this thing off. It's going to be bitterly cold. I know the Raiders normally don't think that that's going to impede what they do, but I wonder, does that affect their game planning at all? Because I got to think Cincinnati, they're kind of used to this there in Ohio.
Well, now the Raiders aren't exactly an outdoor team, considering they play indoors here at Allegiant Stadium. So what's happening in your neck of the woods, or the Raiders' neck of the woods, to quote your Al Roker phrase there, is that they play indoors.
Yes.
So, you know, are they going to be able to play in this cold weather? I tend to think that maybe that's not going to affect them as much as we think.
Okay.
Because I just think you've got two total greenhorns in this game. This is not what we expected. We expected, I think, most people, the Colts to be in this spot playing against the Cincinnati Bengals in a war on I-74, if you will, for that series. But the Colts laid an egg down there in Jacksonville. So we get the Raiders here as the 5 seed. I don't think anybody would have thought the Raiders not only to be in the playoffs, but to be the 5 seed, not to be like the dead last number 7 seed. But here they are. And I think both teams, look, there's a reason why the Raiders went ahead and played for that win. It wasn't necessarily because of that Brandon Staley timeout.
That's right.
It was the fact that, hey, do we want to go play a Cincinnati team that's unproven, or do we want to go play a Kansas City team who pieced us up and put up 89 points in 2 games?
Great point. If you think it's going to be cold in Cincinnati on Saturday, wait till you get to Orchard Park on Saturday night. 9. I don't remember Ferris being absent 9 times. 9 degrees is what it's going to be on Saturday night for the Bills and the Patriots. Look, that doesn't bother the Patriots, right? So it does feel like this might be the one game. And some people believe that the Bills actually are not built for this type of weather, right? Because they're kind of a freelance. And
right.
Josh Allen likes to throw
right.
it. That the weather conditions, ironically, might actually favor the Patriots.
So they certainly did in the first meeting in Buffalo.
And course. You see the money's come in early on the Patriots. So if you're a Bills backer, do you bet it now or bet it later?
If you're a Bills backer, you bet it later. I think if you're a Pats backer, try to get the 4. The 4.5s look like they've disappeared for the most part. And what I mentioned in the last segment, go back to 2003 when you get road underdogs against divisional opponents in the playoffs, 13-6 against the number. And we know Bill Belichick is an underdog, 27-15-2 against the number as a road underdog since 2003. 8-0 ATS is a road underdog off a loss. So two pretty even teams, and we mentioned that. 1-2 in AFC and point differential. Bills, we know, have been a good bully, and a little bit of that's inflated because you had those blowouts against the Texans and, you know, a lot of these teams, when they're a big favorite, they tend to really blow the doors off teams, and that's why they're plus 194, Patriots plus 159. The Bills are, you know, I'm still going to stick with it because I've already got a ticket in pocket in terms of from the summer for the Bills to win the Super Bowl, but I do like the Patriots here in this spot. I think 4 or better, absolute take on New England. But if you're a Buffalo backer, go ahead and wait. You might see 3.5 and 3 because it's kind of that phenomenon when you get an elite coach getting points. We saw it a little bit last night with Nick Saban, who had been so good as an underdog. He was 5-1 as an underdog, only been an underdog 6 times against Alabama. So I understood why people took the points.
Yep.
Like, I'm getting Nick Saban and points. I got to take it. Didn't work out necessarily, but I think that same principle kind of applies to his old buddy Bill Belichick.
I look at the total here, 43.5, and it's already being bet to the under, and we saw that even against the Jets, where look, it was shoddy conditions out there, very windy, you know, Orchard Park, and punting was an issue, the whole thing, and only 37 total points. Do you expect the same type game script that we saw with Mac Jones and Bill Belichick when they did win up there on that windy night in Orchard Park?
I mean, probably not that pronounced in terms of Mac Jones only throwing 3 passes, but this total, every total on the board for the playoffs is either 46.5 or more, and you see some really big totals out here, and then you see this one all the way down there at 43,
wow.
But I think the reason why, and 43.5 at BetMGM, the reason why is because, look, these two teams know each other. Besides the Cardinals and the Rams, this is the only division team game here on Wild Card Weekend. So it's like, what are they going to do to really surprise us? What more can they do? What more wrinkles can these other offenses add that the defenses don't understand or have not seen before? So there's a reason why you saw a little bit of money on this total to the under.
Yeah, and again, when you look at the first game, you look at the Raiders and the Bengals for the total, and you go, I can see those teams trying to come out offensively and saying, all right, we don't trust your defense, right? The problem for the Bengals might be the back four, and certainly the Raiders, I think you feel like you can get stuff over the top. So you might see some offenses. That's why that total's high. Here, I'm with you. I just don't think right away Bill Belichick's going to do anything to put Mac Jones in a precarious position with turnovers and the propensity thereof. And certainly I think Buffalo might early on try to play it close to the vest and break it open later.
And to your point there, when we were talking about the Bills with the 11 wins, all their wins were by 12 or more points. The Patriots win where they beat them in the second matchup back in Foxborough, 33-21 in the rematch. That was a 12-point win as well. Bills 0-5 in one-score games. One thing with Josh Allen, you're a little bit worried in terms of what you've seen out of him in the postseason. He's only 1-3 against the number in the postseason. That's more experience than Mac Jones has. But look, you know, the Bills, the only team that ranks top 10 in passing and rushing DVOA in both offense and defense. I just think with close games, if you think that phenomena is going to continue, points are going to be at a premium, then you might want to take them rather than lay them.
You know, we're talking about a lot of weather issues here. We'll get to our last AFC game here in a second. But, you know, in a previous life, when weather took over, they stopped doing sports and had me go out and do weather hits. And I think where you want the bad weather is in Kansas City if you're a Pittsburgh Steeler backer. And guess what? You're not going to get it on Sunday. Looks like 41 degrees, so a relatively calm day out there at Arrowhead Stadium. And I think this is the one game where the Steelers would have said, yes, please, bring on the snow, bring on the cold. Our defense can match up there. And it looks like that's not going to be the case. And all of a sudden, you see Kansas City getting bet up to 12.5. So if you're a Steeler backer, bet it now or bet it later?
You probably got to bet it now because there is going to be buyback now that you saw 13. That's probably the most you're going to get. I don't think it's going to continue to be people laying Kansas City in the points. However, when you look at home double-digit favorites, they are a perfect 5-0 against the number in a wild card round. It's been a very rare occurrence since 2003. But these big favorites, it's like, oh, I can't lay this big number at the playoffs. But if you've been doing it in that small sample size all the way back to 03, you have been getting paid because sometimes you get bad teams that sneak into the playoffs, like the Pittsburgh Steelers do. And it's usually not pretty and it's usually not close. And we know Kansas City absolutely drubbed them last year. And we have seen these guys in their last game, some of these quarterbacks. Remember how Drew Brees, his last playoff game, that was very ugly?
Yes.
Dan Marino in his final playoff game, they lost 62-7 in his finale. So maybe we get that out of Big Ben. I mean, I would almost want to take Pittsburgh because, look, whenever you take Pittsburgh as an underdog, they've got a pretty good sample size with Big Ben and Mike Tomlin together. However, usually those spots, they're a home underdog, or maybe they're an underdog of like a touchdown or less. You're getting almost two touchdowns here. You can't necessarily auto bet the Steelers. Like, if you're looking just from a number standpoint, you want to bet it now because you're not going to be getting 13.5 or 14 because Steelers are going to get enough money where people are just going to take a chance because they're getting so many points. Remember the first meeting, and we talked about that with Will Hill. It was 30-0 halfway through the third quarter, that 36-10 win. Chiefs had outgained the Steelers to that point, 380-123. It could have been 50-0. So for me, I'm not taking Pittsburgh here, but I wait if you want to lay it on Kansas City. You might be able to lay like 11 or 11.5 at some point.
I want to get to the NFC later on in this program. And again, whenever I did weather, I always tried to get in Alberta Clipper into my forecast, but it never seemed to work out. When we come back, Mo Egger is going to join us from Cincinnati to break down the Bengals and the Raiders from the home team's perspective. Come on back. It's the Lombardi Line right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
We have a new prop tracker now available on VSiN.com for you to keep up with key NFL props. Head over to VSiN.com to get the current odds as well as the movement each week to follow the trends and find the very best value. Track the odds for MVP, head coach, rookie of the year, and much, much more. Check out the prop tracker, betting splits, key trends, and matchup data for every game now at VSiN.com/NFL. Dave Ross alongside Wes Reynolds. This is the Lombardi Line right here on VSiN. And Wes, it's always a pleasure to have Mo Egger join us here. He is the host of ESPN 1530 in Cincinnati. Follow him on Twitter at Mo Egger. Mo, great to have you back in the program. And boy, this is going to be exciting times in Cincinnati this weekend. I saw somebody tweet out, Mo, that basically nobody has ever sent a text message to another Bengal fan saying congratulations on that Bengals playoff victory. It's been a minute. What's it like in Cincinnati this week as they anticipate this home matchup with the Raiders?
Well, you know, there's a great amount of excitement, as there should be. I think there's the sense that this is the start of something big, and not necessarily, you know, a Super Bowl run or anything like that. But this is the start of a run of the Bengals being relevant and playing in a lot of playoff games and getting themselves in a position where you could actually talk about them winning a championship. But look, I mean, you mentioned their history. It's been 30 years. They haven't won a playoff game since the end of the 1990 season. And so first things first, end that drought, end that narrative. Put away once and for all. You know, we have to do it every time the Bengals are in the postseason. We have to talk about what the price of gas was in January of 91 and who had the number one song in the country. So I think there's excitement over possibly getting rid of narratives like that. But there's also, it's the Bengals. It's the postseason. They usually lose. There's apprehension. There's unease. And, you know, I don't think you can hold against this particular team the franchise's poor playoff history. But the reality is, for fans who have lived through it, when it's the postseason and the Bengals, you've come to expect the worst, especially when things are set up as well as they are for the Bengals this Saturday. And so until they actually do it, until they actually win a playoff game, I think there's always going to be a sense of unease around any Bengals playoff game.
The number one song, by the way, in January 1991 was Madonna's Justify My Love.
No
so
way.
I believe that was the top of the charts last time the Bengals won a playoff game. So I've done the
work
for the
that.
Production. Well, you know me. I'm a chart nerd, so that was number one on the Billboard charts. But, Mo, looking at Cincinnati and the Raiders, and the Raiders have gotten the early money this week on the line. Line open 6.5, now down to 5.5. You do have two playoff greenhorns last year. You talk about Cincinnati. Raiders in the playoffs for only the second time, really, in the last 20 years. And, you know, somehow, some way, the Raiders got in. They lose to the Bears at home. They lose to Washington football team at home. And somehow this team gets in the playoffs. When you go back to that first meeting, Mo, 32-13, Bengals won as 1.5-point road favorites. That game really didn't play out like a dominant Bengals win.
No, it didn't. What they did is they ran the ball well. Joe Burrow and the explosive offense that we've seen from the Bengals, those things really didn't appear in Las Vegas. They got a key turnover from Derek Carr late in the game. They played good defense. It was not the blueprint that we saw them use against Baltimore the second go-around. Certainly wasn't the blueprint we saw them use against Kansas City the second go-around. But I do think it's illustrative of why this team is favored and why they should be favored. And I think, you know, look, I mean, you have to give the Raiders a lot of credit for sort of pulling themselves off the mat, getting themselves to the postseason as the 5 seed, winning that game on Sunday night, which was a game that we're going to be talking about for a very long time. But I think most of us walked away from that game in Vegas going, yeah, the Bengals have the better football team. They weren't at their best. They certainly weren't as good offensively as they can be, and yet they still won on the road by 19 points against a playoff hopeful. But, yeah, and look, that game I think was the most important win of the season because if you go back, they had lost the previous two. They were throttled at home by Cleveland. They had a bye week, and there was a sense of if they go to Vegas and lose, the season's going to start circling down the drain. Instead, they figured out a way to win that improved their record to 6-4, and they kind of got things back on course. I think the hope is that with this offense, you kind of cross off the game in Cleveland on Sunday, with this offense playing as well as they have, that they're going to be able to do things against Las Vegas this time that they didn't do in that first matchup. And if they do those things, the Bengals, the belief here is, will win and win reasonably comfortably.
Talking with Mo Egger, 1530 in ESPN in Cincinnati. And Mo, look, it's not 1981. Kenny Anderson's not walking through that door in that cold game when they beat the Chargers to move on to the Super Bowl back in the day. But it is going to be cold on Saturday night. And we mentioned this, Wes and I talked about the Buffalo Bills, and sometimes maybe the cold elements don't exactly help out that football team. What about the Bengals in this spot? We know the Raiders playing a dome here. They're going to go outside, and it's going to be cold on Saturday in the East Coast. Are the Bengals built for this type of weather, or are they really kind of flash and they like to get on the outside and use Ja'Marr Chase and throw it over the top? And I wonder if the conditions are going to play into this at all.
Well, it was really cold when they played Kansas City, and you saw what they did against the Chiefs. And so cold in itself, I don't think is going to bother this team. I think if we were to have extreme wind or precipitation, snow, rain, that sort of stuff, then that's a great equalizer in the NFL. And frankly, we haven't seen the Bengals play in those conditions this year, but we have seen them play in the cold. It was cold in the second half against San Francisco, the game they lost, but Joe Burrow was great in the fourth quarter and in overtime. It was cold when they played Baltimore a couple of weeks ago. That was a shell of a Ravens team because of all the COVID issues and injury problems they had. But that Cincinnati offense couldn't be stopped that day. And they, after falling behind 14-0 against Kansas City, they kind of scored at will against the Chiefs in a game that was played in pretty cold and frigid conditions. And so I don't know that the cold in itself is going to bother this team. I do think it's fair to wonder, though, in what shape is the running game going to be? Because Joe Mixon ran for 123 against Las Vegas. The following week, he ran for 165 against the Pittsburgh Steelers. And since then, they haven't run the ball all that effectively. And so if you can take some things away in the air, if you can take some things away from what Joe Burrow wants to do with those outside guys, is this a good enough running team? Is it a good enough running team? And I think you can ask that question about, you know, whatever conditions they're playing in. Are they going to be good enough on the ground to win a game in which maybe Cincinnati's passing game isn't clicking? I think that question is sort of independent of the weather, but I think it's a fair question. I think it's a fair question about both teams because, you know, look, the Raiders play indoors. The Bengals do not. They've played in AFC North games like this before. But if we get precipitation, if we get weather, if we get snow, that's going to be fascinating to watch unfold because this is a team here that hasn't played in anything close to resembling that.
Mo, you kind of mentioned it a little bit, too. When you look at Joe Mixon, 1,205 yards, obviously a very good season. But when you dig deeper into, like, the efficiency metrics, kind of blah a little bit in the running game. But what we saw the Bengals do, take out Week 18, obviously, where they sat everybody or most of the significant players against Cleveland. Against Baltimore and Kansas City in Week 16 and 17, they seemed to open up the offense a little bit more and got a little bit less run heavy. Do you expect that that's going to continue in this playoff game?
Well, if I'm judging by the way they played against Baltimore and Kansas City and the success they had, then I got to think the answer is yes. And I don't have the specific numbers in front of me, but basically for their first 14 games, they threw it on first down a little bit less than half the time. And against Baltimore and Kansas City, week 16 and 17, they threw it on first down. I think the number is 71% of the time. So they came out throwing. I would like to think that having the success they had throwing the football early, that they'll try to employ the same sort of game plan against the Raiders. The last time they ran it well, which was when Mixon had 165 against the Pittsburgh Steelers, Pittsburgh basically said, because they had weaknesses in the secondary, injuries in the secondary, all right, we're going to do everything we can to keep Joe Burrow from beating us deep. And if you want to run the football, well, then run the football. And the Bengals obliged. And they ran it well, and they blocked well, and Joe Mixon had a big game. The last few games, that hasn't been the case. But I think the yardage numbers are sort of skewed because of what you just said. They have been more aggressive. They've been letting Joe cook, and the results have spoken for themselves. So I would like to think that here you are at home against the Raiders, a team you've beaten. You do have to worry about their pass rush. You do have to worry about Max Crosby. But you've had success throwing early. Go ahead and throw early.
Got about 45 seconds left with Mo Egger. I want to ask you very quickly, 20-1 to win the Super Bowl, and right now plus 900 to win the AFC. Just in the AFC, when you've got Bill Belichick and you got Andy Reid and you have a young coach in Zach Taylor, how do you think his maturation process has gone? And do the Bengals now believe that this is the right guy going forward?
I think they believe he's the right guy from a leadership perspective. I think there are times this season where you might have said, should he be the guy calling plays? Because early in the season, this offense, despite all its weaponry, despite having Joe Burrow, they really spun their tires. That hasn't been the case recently. But if you're looking from a coaching perspective of something to maybe be concerned about, it's something we just talked about. Do offensively they go into the shell we saw them go into early in the season?
Absolutely. Mo, really appreciate the time and the information. As always, again, follow him on Twitter, at Mo Egger, host ESPN 1530 in Cincinnati. Best of luck, and hopefully we'll be talking to you more throughout these playoffs, Mo.
All right. Hope so, guys. Thanks.
Thank you, Mo.
Should be a good one again with the Raiders getting some of that early money in Cincinnati. And again, a young team, haven't been there, haven't done that. So again, if you like them to win the AFC plus 900, you got to go through the Andy Reid's, the Bill Belichick's, potentially coaches who have been there and done that.
Yeah. And these two teams, I mean, they kind of a little bit mirror of each other, have both the same weaknesses and strengths.
Absolutely. When we come back here, we're going to delve a little bit into the NBA docket tonight, Wes. Come on back. It's the Lombardi Line right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. VSiN is a great new offer to help make this your very best betting season ever. Our all-new Big Game Big Dance special provides VSiN Plus all access to everything we do from now through April 5th for only $69. Sign up now. Get our daily best bet emails, 24/7 video access, the upcoming big game and college hoops betting guides, plus full access to VSiN.com with our exclusive betting split breakdowns on every single game. It's one of the most exciting betting seasons of the year, so don't miss out on one of the best deals of the year. Visit VSiN.com/bigdeal to sign up today. Dave Ross alongside Wes Reynolds. This is the Lombardi Line right here on VSiN. And, Wes, let's go ahead and dip our toe into the NBA very quickly for the evening's betting card on a Tuesday night. And let's start off with two teams maybe a little bit less than to be desired. Of course, my old stomping grounds in Washington, D.C. The Wizards are going to host the Thunder tonight. OKC right now, pretty good in the last five ATS, 4-1, 11-4 ATS in the last 15 road games. Washington, conversely, not a good play in their last 10 games following an ATS loss, only 2-7-1 in their next outing. The over, though, is 14-6-1 in their last 21 games overall. So with those trends in mind, the Wizards are rather strong favorite at 9. Which way would you lean here?
Yeah, the number does look a little high. I think there were some 9.5s out there, too, starting to see mostly 9. Look, Washington, if you look over the last week and a half or so, 2-2 straight up, 1-3 against the number in the last four games. Didn't cover against the Houston Rockets. Actually lost outright at home to the Rockets. I think they were laying 7. And against Orlando, they were laying 7.5, one of also the bottom feeders in the league. And the Washington Wizards didn't cover either game. They actually lost to Houston outright. Now you're 9, 9.5 against a Thunder team that I think the Thunder, about when you look at the ratings, even though they have a slightly better record, Thunder 13-26, they're right down there with the Rockets in terms of, like, I think where people would kind of rate them going forward. So, you know, this looked a little high to me, at least. Washington, you know, you would call them, you know, below the median in terms of defense. 111.1 per 100 possessions. Oklahoma City is a team not going to beat you shooting the three ball. They're going to try to dribble drive and get to the rim, and that's what they do. And this is a Washington team that's not exactly strong at the rim, shall we say. They'll allow you a little bit. Oklahoma City on defense, they like to protect the rim. Washington, of course, is going to, you would think, would want to drive it to the rim because they're not a very good three-point shooting team, 28th in the NBA. So this did look at first glance like a high number on the Oklahoma City Thunder. I have not bet this game, but at 9, I mean, I would lean toward taking rather than laying from this standpoint. I don't know if that makes Washington like a contrarian favorite tonight, but gosh, when you look, just based on what they've done against some of the bottom feeders, they haven't covered. Now you're asking them to lay more against the Thunder team.
Let's talk about the Suns and the Raptors. And this is what I love when you find dueling trends, okay? And basically, which trend is going to get bucked tonight? Now, the Suns, when they're coming off a wipeout at home following a double-digit loss in their last four, they're 4-0 straight up ATS. I mean, they're going to cover that number, whatever it is. They rebound well. 4-1 ATS in their last five road games overall. Now they go to Toronto. And again, no fans there, I do believe, still in Toronto. The Raptors are 8-1 ATS in their last 9 home games, 6-1 ATS in their last 7 overall. So they've been streaking. But we mentioned those dueling trends here with Phoenix. They recover well. Who do you think gets this this ATS win at least tonight?
Yeah, and Toronto has won six in a row, 11-4 since December 1st, 12-3 against the number. And really, I think when you look, it's really been the defense that I think has been the key to the turnaround. The D rating over the last 15 games, that streak beating back to December 1st, 109.1, better than what we saw prior, 110.8. So you've got improved defense, and it's going to have to be a good defense against a Phoenix team that's kind of making its way. Mm-hmm. You know, they had some guys out due to COVID. DeAndre Ayton's back. JaVale McGee is back. Jay Crowder is back. Monty Williams, the head coach, is back. So, look, they did come back. The first game back for all these guys, they did get boat raced at home by the Miami Heat by 23. But now you've got a couple days off, first game of a road trip for Phoenix here. So you would expect at least a better effort out of the Suns, I think, from this standpoint. And I often think, like, that first game on a road trip, that's where you're going to have your most focus, especially if you're off a bad loss at home. Phoenix, of course, has Toronto tonight. Then they have Indiana on Saturday, and then the Pistons next Sunday. And then they get that Texas trip on the way back to Phoenix against the Spurs and the Mavericks. So first game of a five-game road trip. And I think, you know, sometimes when you miss guys and they come back from injury or they come back from illness or something, or time away where they're not playing games, it takes at least a game, I think, going forward, you know, to kind of get your ducks in a row and get your energy and get your some conditioning, because it's kind of like you're in shape, but you're not in quote unquote basketball shape. I lean the Suns here laying four on the road against a very hot Raptors team all of a sudden.
You know, the Warriors have not been a good play. And you talk about public teams here in the NBA. Maybe that's why their numbers against the spread have not been good. 2-5-1 in their last eight following an ATS win. 1-3-1 ATS in their last five as a road favorite, which they are tonight in Memphis. And conversely, Memphis, my goodness, have caught fire. 6-0 ATS in their last six. 5-0 in their last five games following an ATS win. So they've been good in that back-to-back scenario here of covering twice. So the trends lead you to Memphis. Do you follow that trend?
Well, speaking of streaking, that would be the Memphis Grizzlies. They're going for their 10th win in a row, and they've covered eight of the last nine overall. So, like we said with the Raptors just in the last game, it's been the defense, limiting opponents, 101.8 points per 100 possessions. Warriors kind of still looking for some consistency. They did just get Klay Thompson back on Sunday in that win over the Cleveland Cavaliers. So, you know, it does take time when you haven't played with, you know, with a guy like Klay, who commands at least some sort of offense where he's going to get touches and he's going to get shots, and you got to get used to it. Now, he was actually good in his debut, but now you got to go on the road and you wonder if this unit just still kind of getting used to each other, because it takes a few games,
right?
I think, especially when you have a starter and a star player like Klay Thompson to kind of integrate him back to the lineup. I know, you know, it was like they won that first game, so they're like, yeah, we're going to pick up just like clockwork, you know, and do that. But Memphis is going to have other ideas, and you've seen Memphis get a little bit of the money here. We're seeing some two in the market, 1.5 actually at BetMGM, still some twos out there. I would actually lean to Memphis. I think this is a tough spot for the Warriors. You know, all that feel good with Klay getting back, and now you got to go on the road and start a road trip against a team that is playing hot and a team that I think, you know, they're wanting a piece of Golden State, because I think Memphis and Ja Morant and those guys, they got a lot of talented, you know, tough young players. I lean to the Grizz here at home.
All right, I want to skip ahead here a little bit because, you know, before I came out here to the desert to join you, I worked at the United Center in Chicago. And whenever Detroit came into town, I know it's not Michael Jordan and it's not Isaiah Thomas. They don't want to lose to the Pistons in the United Center. And this meeting tonight, the Bulls right now, 4-1 ATS in their last five home games. They've been a revelation. The under in their last six meetings against Detroit, 6-0. They lock up the Pistons. And how about this for a trend? Detroit is 1-8 ATS in their last nine after scoring more than 125, which is what they find themselves in this scenario. 0-4 ATS in their last four meetings in the United Center. Wes, what do you make of these trends?
Yeah, as a makeup game, by the way, from December 14th, that got postponed. And Detroit coming back-to-back, they did win 126-116 against Utah. Now, Utah did not have Rudy Gobert, and that's why you're giving up 126 points. The two young guys, Cade Cunningham, Sadiq Bey, 57 points on 20-31 shooting last night. Pistons have started off this month. They're not a very good team, and they're a very young team, but 4-2 against the number, 4-2 out outright here in the month of January. The net rating's still down. This is not a very good team, but they are playing better basketball than they had been playing. But all of a sudden, you're going into the buzzsaw here. Bulls 9-1 last 10, but just 5-4 in those nine games, because I think the word's kind of out on the Bulls that this is a very good team. So now you're starting to have to pay that premium. Now you're starting to have to pay that tax in the line. And I think really with the Bulls, it's because their defense hasn't really been as good of late. Alex Caruso is still out, so that's going to hurt you a little bit defensively. The offense has been on point for the Bulls, though. 118.90 rating in the last nine games. So if Detroit's going to stay within this number, their defense is going to have to be a lot better than even we saw last night, where even though they got 126, they still gave up 116 to the Jazz. It's tough to lay this number. This is probably going to end up being a pass for me, but you do feel like maybe Detroit is running into a buzzsaw that I don't want to get in front of in lieu of the Bulls.
Absolutely not. About 30 seconds to go here. One last one I just want to touch on. The Nuggets and the Clippers. Denver 7-3 ATS in their last 10 following an ATS loss. The under is hitting their last five of the last six road games for the Nuggets. They're on the road tonight. You see that total relatively low at 213 in the hook, laying three in the road. What do you make of it?
Two teams with a lot of injuries right now. We know without Paul George, Clippers have been 3-6 straight up, 4-5 against the number. Denver not playing that great lately either. 5-4 straight up, 3-6 ATS in the last nine. A lot of injuries with these two teams. It's going to be a stay away for me.
All right, when we come back, bet now or bet later, but we're going to go to the NFC and break down those playoff implications. Come on back. It's the Lombardi Line right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Bet on more than just the final score with One Game Parlay at BetMGM. One Game Parlay is an exciting feature designed to help you with your selections within a single game for over 400 bet types, including team and player props. Log into your BetMGM account and create your best parlay before the game even starts. New to BetMGM, we'll sign up today and make your first bet risk-free up to $1,000 with the bonus code VSIN1000. You can place One Game Parlays on football, basketball, and much, much more. Plus, you're going to earn M Life rewards that you can redeem for rooms, nights, and dining at MGM Resorts nationwide. Try One Game Parlay today. Eligibility restrictions do apply. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older to wager. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable free bets or site credit. Free bets expire in 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. If you have a problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Promotional offer not available in Nevada and Mississippi. Back alongside Wes Reynolds, I am Dave Ross. This is the Lombardi Line right here on VSiN. And Wes, I always say, I do think it's one of the more worthwhile discussions that we have each and every week. It is bet now or bet later. We did the AFC earlier in the program. Let's go to the NFC now. And again, what we're trying to extrapolate here is where we think the line is going to go. So depending on which side you may like, we're going to try to advise you whether or not you should bet it now or bet it later. Let's start off with the Eagles and the Buccaneers. This is a Sunday 1 o'clock Eastern tilt here. And we've seen this line move go to the way of the Buccaneers so far. Open up around 8.5. We've seen it going up to 9 right now. Currently, BetMGM still at 8.5 with that total at 49. If you're a Buccaneer backer, and I got to think the majority of the public will be on the Bucs, Would you bet it now or bet it later if you're a Tampa Bay backer?
Bet it now if you want to do a teaser with Tampa Bay, because if you can still get the 8.5 in the market once this goes to 9, obviously that takes that long teaser angle out of play where you can't tease down through the 3 and the 7. And look, I could see this going to 9 or 9.5, because if you look at Philadelphia, you want to give these guys credit. They were 3-6 to start out. They rallied 6-2. So congratulations to Nick Sirianni in his first year in the Philadelphia Eagles. Plus, of course, getting that number one draft pick from Indianapolis next year. But I digress on that in the Carson Wentz trade. So when you look at what the Eagles did after they had that big win in Detroit, remember, and they won 44-6, mm-hmm. I believe it was on Halloween Sunday, October 31st, and they started to run the ball. We're going to run it first. We're going to let Jalen Hurts run it, but we're going to use Sanders. We're going to use Howard. We're going to use Gainwell, our young running backs. And they were third and rush DVOA into last week against Dallas. Take those numbers out, because that essentially amounted to like a preseason game with all the guys out. But one of the reasons I think Philadelphia isn't being given much respect, because they only played three teams better than 500 in the back half of the season, and they lost to two of those teams. Played six games against playoff teams this season, weren't competitive in any, really lost all six, lost at home to the 49ers, got blown out by the Cowboys twice, including last Saturday, mm-hmm. got beat by the Chiefs by double digits at home. The game against Tampa Bay, we were kind of chatting about a different area of bad beats over the break. That was a bad beat for you and a lucky win for me. You had the right side laying the number on that Thursday night game against Tampa Bay. I took the 7 with the Eagles, and Nick Sirianni goes for the 2, makes it 28-22. It was 28-7 with less than 6 minutes to play in the third quarter. So that final score doesn't indicate that the Bucs were pretty
dominated that game
in that meeting. I believe when you look at the final stats of that game, only had 213 yards and 20 minutes of possession compared to 399 yards and 40 minutes of possession for Tampa Bay. So Tampa Bay obviously got these guys before. That line was -7 on the road, as we just mentioned. I think maybe some bettors are thinking there's still some value here in Tampa Bay. So like I said, if you want to bet on a teaser, bet Tampa Bay now. And maybe if you want to lay the spread right now, go ahead and do this. This could go to 9, 9.5. Might see 10 before you get the buyback. I don't think this is going to get out of control. But Tampa Bay, much better record against playoff teams than Philadelphia. 5-1 against playoff teams. They've won 7 of their last 8. I know they've had a lot of injuries, but they've been finding a way to get it done. And look, Tom Brady's used to that from his time in New England. You know, all of a sudden it's like, who is this Cyril Grayson guy?
Right.
He was a sprinter down at LSU. We don't remember him on the football team. So nevertheless, Tom Brady finds a way. I think that this is probably going to go a little northward on Tampa Bay.
You know, I'm right there. I always say life is too short to bet unders. I kind of like the under in this one here, because the Eagles are going to have to run the ball here to try to keep possessions away from Tom Brady. And with those physical fronts that you have up here, I just don't see an aerial assault in this one. So to me, I know we don't like to play unders, but that probably would be the way to go in my estimation there. How about the Niners against the Cowboys? And in full disclosure, I've already bet this game. I bet the Cowboys now at laying the 3. I'm anticipating this line going up. Wes, am I wrong in that assumption, or do you think it stays right around 3?
No, I think you're right in that assumption, because here's what I think. I think there are some bettors. I was talking about that last night with some bettors here in town, and thank you to Doug Kazarian for inviting us over to watch the college football playoff.
Invite must have been lost in the mail.
No, you could have came. Your presence was missed. But nevertheless, we were talking about this, all of us, and like, I can't bet 49ers +3. I want to bet the 49ers, but I can't bet it at 3. I got to wait and see if it's going to get at 3.5. Cowboys defense, I think, has been much better than anybody ever anticipated with Parsons as a mm-hmm. rookie. After that first game, you remember that Thursday night game against Tampa Bay when they were lining him up as linebacker in coverage and he was absolutely lost. Then they kind of figured out, okay, let's get this young stud down there in a 3-point stance and have him go try to kill the other team's quarterback. And that seemed to work very well mm-hmm. for Dallas. D-Law back, Randy Gregory. I know he's missed some games with injury, but there's a reason why the Dallas Cowboys have the number one pass defense in the DBOA from Football Outsiders. Look, Trevon Diggs has got 11 interceptions, but he's also given up the most yards in coverage, so he is very much a pick your poison. The defense is not good because the coverage is good.
Right.
The defense is good because this pass rush is good, and that defensive line is very good. Now, can the rest of the defense step up and kind of meet that role? Dallas, you wonder. I mean, the line really didn't show. It didn't get inflated. I mean, they kind of had those two big games in primetime where they ran up scores a little bit. I think Mike McCarthy was trying to move up in the college football playoff standings or something, running it up on the Washington football team and then against Philadelphia against mostly backups. Left Dak in the game a long time. Even you were saying take him out.
I just didn't understand it, Wes. And to your point there, I think that the reason why this number is still at three is because the recency bias might be 2 weeks ago against Arizona. And they look at the Eagle game as a throwaway game.
Mm-hmm.
And they go, well, that game really didn't matter, which it did not. So I can understand why the value right now, it seems like the public perception isn't on the Niners, and that's why I like this Cowboys unit here at a short number of three, because I think that this number should have been bigger.
And one other thing, I talked about that pass defense being number one, the DVOA. The run defense, not so much for Dallas in the bottom half of the league, and we know the Niners kind of started to peak, even though Jimmy G's thumb was hanging by a thread here, as we saw on Sunday. 49ers can run the ball with not only Mitchell, but Debo Samuel. They've gotten George Kittle back to open up passing lanes, Kyle Juszczyk. So the 49ers can have a very dynamic offense. Kyle Shanahan's best role is as an underdog, 25-17 against the number in the regular season, about 60% cover rate. Not so good as a favorite. Garoppolo 2-1 in the postseason. Dak 0-3 so far against the number. Maybe this is the time where he's going to cover. I'm waiting to bet the 49ers personally. I want to see if Trent Williams at left tackle is going to be healthy.
Didn't go
I would
week.
Only bet San Francisco at 3.5 or better. At 3, it's a no play.
And again, the total's already crept up to 51. Brandon Ayuk has been more involved in that offense as well, with Debo being more of a runner. So let's see if those points come Sunday in Dallas. Very quickly, let's get to the Cardinals and the Rams. This is interesting because the Rams went out to the desert and got a big win, which helped them win the division to get this home playoff game. And then Arizona couldn't beat Seattle last week. Had they won that game, they would have won the division, and they couldn't get that done with the Rams losing to the Niners. Now you see it open up about that flat number of 5 down to 4.5. Wes, bet it now or bet it later if you're a Cardinal backer?
I'd probably bet it now. It's kind of a game of who do you trust here. We know Matthew Stafford, 0-3 in the postseason, and quite frankly has not looked great down the stretch. Has been throwing the guys at other people's jerseys here. Hasn't really clicked yet with OBJ, even though they got that winning touchdown in the Baltimore game. Cardinals, we know, at home, not very good. They, of course, did not cover or even win outright against Seattle on Sunday. I know both you and I like the Seahawks. 4-11 at home is Cliff Kingsbury is a favorite, but as an underdog, and especially on the road, they've been road warriors. Cliff Kingsbury is an underdog, 18-7-2 against the number. That's 72%. So there's a pattern there. Now, the Rams have won 9 of the last 10 against Arizona. McVay is 4-1-1 against the number against Kingsbury. Cardinals did get him up there in SoFi earlier this year. That was after the Rams did beat Tampa Bay and were undefeated at that point. So you could say that's a dead spot there. But home favorites against division opponents in the wild card round since 2003, 3-9-1 against the number, lost 5 of the last 6. It's like a when in doubt, like who do you trust? When in doubt, I'm going to take the points, and I'd be on Arizona here, even though the Rams were my Super Bowl pick.
Hey, it looks like Hopkins is not going to be back for Arizona. So to me, can Arizona run the football? If James Conner can keep control and Kyler Murray, like Bryce Young didn't run a whole lot last night in the National Championship, if Kyler Murray uses his legs, I'm with you. I like the 4 points there in Arizona. What should be that's a Monday night game, by the way. So that'll be the last game on the board on the wild card weekend. Wes, always enjoy the conversation. Thanks to Mo Egger. Thanks to Will Hill for joining us here on the Lombardi Line. We're back at it tomorrow. Have a good rest of your day right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.